Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
We are here today to discuss splat.
Splat!
An exclamation point.
I don't have any necessary butthole dons because we still haven't released an episode.
Right. We're stockpiling a little
bit
right
because
now.
Yeah, because Mike has to go on vacation. but there is something I want to, because I got a lot of response on Instagram. A friend of mine bought me this book. And it's called We Should All Be Mirandas. Mm-hmm. And it's written by Chelsea Fairless and Lauren Garoni. I hope I'm saying their names right. But they are the two that are behind the Instagram account Every Outfit on SATC, which is like a huge Sex and the City Instagram account. And everyone's like, where do I get this? How do I get this? He got it online. And I haven't read it yet because I'm worried there's going to be a spoiler.
I know. I wonder if it just covers the series or if it covers the movies too.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So like, it's a parody book and I flipped through it and it's already like super funny. But there are things that are about movie Miranda. So I'm like,
Yeah, you have to wait a while.
I mean, I might, to be honest with you guys, I might watch the movies and take notes and then rewatch them when you and I go through them, because I can't, like, someone just texted me. Someone also tweeted and said, like, how do you not speed ahead and watch everything?
Because you haven't.
I have not at all.
We have friends that listen to the podcast that were like, I finished the series already, like a year ago.
And, like, there's two reasons why. One of them is that Mike is really mean and he'll like, hit me. No. One of them is that this is a lot of work. Like, the podcast itself, doing it is a lot of work, and we love doing it, but, like, we also work and have other things, and when I sit down and watch it, I have to take notes, so there's like all of that,
right.
And then on top of that, it's also like I want this to be fresh, like, yeah. I want to watch it, and until this last season there wasn't cliffhangers, you know what I mean? It kind of, every episode was just kind of like, so what happens now, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, so that's all I've got.
So Splat originally debuted February 8th, 2004.
You're really getting those, that R. Say yeah. Library.
Library, but that's just, you know.
I know, but people say like.
Ugh, that's terrible. Don't
Wednesday.
Say it. Wednesday. This is directed once again by Julian Farino. This is written by Jenny Bix and Cindy Shupak. So two of our favorites get together to write this one together. It is an A&D credit, so they didn't write it together necessarily. I'm not exactly sure how this worked. Anyways, our DVD recap. Petrovsky hosts a dinner party for Miss Bradshaw's inner circle and throws the party into a spin when he announces that Carrie will be moving to Paris to live with him, though Carrie hasn't said yes to the move. Later, the tragic death of former It Girl Lexi Featherston, spoiler, an old running partner of Carrie's.
That makes sense.
Carrie wonder if she needs a change in her life. She decides to move to Paris for a fresh start.
Running partner is like someone you used to run with, meaning like, sure, someone you used to like go out with and party with.
Yeah, it caught me off guard.
Yeah. There is a really interesting article on Vulture, New York Magazine. Remind me, everyone, if I don't post this, to post it. And it's all of the Cindy Chupak, Michael Patrick King, Jenny Bix, Candace Bushnell, Kristen Johnson, Johnston, Sarah Jessica Parker, like, chiming in about this episode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So it opens up with...
When you live in New York City, it can take all your energy to stay in vogue.
So when Enid Frick, my old boss at Vogue, wanted to meet me for lunch, I was eager to hear what she had for me.
And it's Carrie meeting Candy B.
Yeah, we're at Estiatorio Milos.
Yep.
On 50th between 6th and 7th.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And it's a Greek restaurant. And they actually, when I Googled, so they opened another one at Hudson Yards, which we were just talking about with Citarella. Hudson Yards is the newest, it looks like a mall almost, but I think their intention was to make this high-end luxury community.
Yeah.
It's
was not reviewed well.
Hudson Yards in general?
In general, and this particular new
location.
Right,
so it's 34th and, like, all the way on the west side. But, yes, so there was some controversy with this restaurant that I was reading online because they didn't post their prices on the menu that was in the window.
Gotcha.
So there, you know, people
also, a lot of things online they don't post their prices for.
Right.
Too.
So I think what was happening was, especially in a quote unquote mall restaurant, people just go in and then they're paying. They were saying like $17 for a side, like things like that. Yeah. So, but it still has like 4 to 5 stars.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's changed since, but.
So Enid has invited Carrie to lunch and has a favor to ask.
She wants her to bring Al to a party.
Yeah, she's doing a party for some documentary filmmakers and inviting her and Al. And Enid wants to know if Al knows anyone because it's shaping up to be a party of couples.
And there are no exciting prospects, so I thought that someone from his crowd might be right for me.
Yeah, Enid orders the Dorado, and it's for two. And it is mostly a sharing menu when I looked at the menu. Okay. They have like a lunch prefix, but a lot of it is intended to be shared.
And even the Dorado is for couples. So Carrie says, I'll have it too. And she says, that's a pity Dorado.
Yeah.
We'll have the Dorado.
And Carrie just isn't sure that Al is the setting people up kind of guy. Which right. I can kind of see.
I mean,
that,
he's already said he doesn't have friends here. Right. They're all in Europe.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Enid's line of, I got you a job, you get me a man. This isn't really an even trade.
Enid has a... I mean, I don't remember her specifically behaving this way, but she's very... Reminds me a lot of that character you didn't like with the shoes.
Oh, the character from A Woman's Right to Shoes?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She just reminds me of that very blunt, just like no bones about it.
Yeah, it's. I feel like the difference is that Enid had a job to give, and Carrie might not just have a random man sitting around to give. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a... It's a lofty request.
I want Enid to go into that Annie Lennox song, I Need a Man.
I don't know that song.
I think it's Eurythmic.
So we're at Al's, and they're preparing a dinner party for a couple of couples, is what they say. It is pointed out that this kitchen has no ovens and no fridge.
Oh, okay. It's a very open concept.
Yeah, very, very much.
Well, he just buys everything that day already baked.
Yeah.
He may be making risotto again. Who knows? I was mostly nervous that they were cooking and Carrie was in that party dress already. Because it's like white and black.
Gotcha. I don't think she's going anywhere near the cooking.
I know, but still, she has red wine. I'm just nervous.
And Carrie asks about his single male friends, and he does know someone. He knows a food critic. It is a funny moment, I suppose, as Carrie says that all of her friends are taken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of that moment of like, oh, wow, I've never said that before.
Right.
That we do have a rare instance where, unlike season 5, where everyone was single, everyone's coupled up right now.
And was this a... commentary episode?
It was. Okay. There are a few things sprinkled. Okay. There wasn't a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, I've watched all these episodes with commentary before, so a lot of it's stuff that I already, like, knew.
So you've been cheating a little bit.
Well, I've watched this show when it came out, Elise.
Yikes. Yeah, just because there were some interesting things in that article, too, that I thought maybe they would say on commentary. Cindy Chupac says, in this article, she says, as soon as Carrie got into a good relationship, we felt like we were going to be out of good material. But now we thought, what happens if she stopped examining love and just experienced it? Which just I thought was a cool thing to like look at this episode.
Yeah, I have a lot of very ambivalent feelings about what we're going to explore in this episode that we'll certainly get into. Yeah, and Al announces that he's going to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, Carrie is taken aback, which was kind of a thing that we touched on in the last episode.
Right, Big's done this.
Yeah, this isn't her first time of a guy saying he's going to Paris. But then he asked her to come, and she's like, yeah, you can come for a while, but that's not what he means.
No.
I'm hoping you'll come and be with me.
In Paris?
Yes.
For who knows when we'll come back?
Yes.
And we get into more of what he means. Like, he kind of touches on it now, like that it's an open-ended thing. But even I wasn't sure watching this. I was like, oh, so he just doesn't know how long the exhibit's going to be open for.
Yeah, it's not super clear in this moment.
Right.
And then we get to the dinner party, and it's really a couple of couples.
Yeah, and this is the first time that we're really seeing this whole group together.
And it's very interesting, and it all fits.
Except Al.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would be fun. I would like to be at that party.
Me too. And I will say it is a bit of a veer away from Al thinking that her column is funny. That he has, like, lost his sense of humor.
Right. And also, I think, I don't know, she must have talked about Samantha before.
Yeah, because Samantha's clearly feeling comfortable.
Right, because she's saying that she thinks her maid is using her vibrator.
And I like that Charlotte's issue is with the word maid.
I don't think you're supposed to say maid anymore.
I don't think we're supposed to say vibrator over dinner.
Sam looks like Millie Dilmount. in this moment.
Okay.
From Thoroughly Modern Millie, because she has that wig and like that rhinestone outfit on. It's very Millie Delmont. And I also love that Smith loves her.
I love that too. I love that he's so amused.
And he's not like taken aback by any of it.
He's like, yep, that's Samantha. Yeah. I do. I really like that dynamic.
Yeah. Al is not having fun at all.
Yeah, she found it in the kitchen. The conversation gets very interesting. Yeah, I wrote, Al doesn't seem to find it amusing, but he did like the 69 joke the other day.
Maybe in the other republics, people like to share vibrators, but this is America, land of plenty.
I think you could have a potential lawsuit on your hands.
What, breaking and vibrating?
As long as it's not entering.
Someone mentions that Al has a piano. Ask him if you play. It's so on brand that Steve wants him to play Billy Joel.
And I'm sorry, but Al isn't familiar with Billy Joel. You have to have at least heard of Billy Joel.
I don't know, Mike. I amaze myself every day with something new that I don't know. I mean, I know Billy Joel. Yeah, I'm sure he's heard of Billy Joel. Yeah.
He just seems to be, like, trying to not have a good time at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I have a friend like that who...
I'm sitting right here.
No, you're not this person. You are very into pop culture. You went to the Taylor Swift concert.
I did.
I have a friend who sometimes will say, like, oh, I don't know who that is, or I haven't heard of that, or what is Instagram? And I'm like, shut up, you idiot. You know what these things are. We're the same age. Don't act like a pretentious asshole. Get that New York Times tote bag off my couch and leave.
Tell us about your sculpture exhibition in Paris.
They are not technically sculpture.
Oh.
And then Carrie sort of breaks in to explain, and Al shuts her down.
Yeah, and Carrie does that thing that I hate when people in couples do, where they like, I don't know, it's like now she's the expert on this thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but I think that she is seeing that things are not going well, and mm-hmm. she's deciding to act as the translator.
Right.
Which is already not a good sign.
No.
It's interesting how, if the debate on this episode is to move to Paris with this person or not, at every moment, to me, it feels like it's a not. And I guess we're going to get to the event that changes that, but it really, watching this, I think, I don't know.
No, I get it. I get it too, because I'm like, I don't want to move with him, as they're saying, like, experiencing love and not analyzing it. I would have done this more with Big. And to be honest with you, in this moment, I'm getting pissed because I'm like, wait, are we going to end this series with this asshole?
Well, that is one thing they talk about in the commentary, is that they felt like they could really mess with people's minds because the series was about to end.
Right.
So they really could, like, people would be like, they're not going to kill off Samantha with cancer, but the series is about to end. So what if they do? Or, like, they're not going to have Carrie move to Paris with this guy, but the series is about to end. What right. if they do? That they could kind of, like, mess with your head.
Yeah, but we all know, like, Game of Thrones, that sometimes... I never saw it. I just know Mike's still very angry and refuses to purchase the DVD, but feels like he needs to purchase the DVD.
Can someone just buy it for me?
I don't like Paris. Too much attitude. And what's with the toilet paper? Paris is the best city in the world.
Easy, fella. You're talking to New Yorkers here.
And Al chooses this time to announce that Carrie will soon be living in Paris.
And I wrote, Carrie is going to Paris to live? Like, I was understanding this with, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. So we cut to four ladies upstairs, and there are a lot of questions.
I wrote, Carrie has a lot of questions because what is happening?
Yeah, that very true. You're like, I have a lot of questions. Yeah. Carrie, can I ask a few things? Like, what on earth is going on?
How long would you go?
Where would you live?
Is there a guest room? Are you really thinking of going?
Charlotte thinks it's exciting, and then you could just see Miranda. Miranda's yeah. like, no.
Absolutely
this is not,
not
going to happen.
Yeah.
And then Stanford announces that time's up.
Time's up. I can't pretend to be one of the boys any longer.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, Mike's going to like this line.
So Carrie brings up her friend's questions and has questions of her own.
What about my apartment here? Would I sublet it?
What about my apartment here? Would I sublet it?
Yeah, and also I love that Samantha's kind of like, you should go, and I'll go there for half the time. Like, Samantha just yeah. wants to go too. Samantha is a different Samantha in this.
Yeah, I think she seems a little bit freer.
Yeah,
she seems just, a little bit more.
I think what it is she is relaxed into her relationship with Smith. And by doing that, she has, like, let down this guard that she's had up.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'd be staying at the plaza because his place is under construction.
He has plenty, and she doesn't have to sublet her apartment. He'll pay her rent. He has plenty of money, but not plenty of Carrie Bradshaw's.
Yeah. So Carrie's question has to do with her apartment here. And he says he would pay for it. I don't know. This is rough. It's a rough one.
She always wanted to learn French and drink wine before noon.
Yeah, so that's as we get to Four Ladies at Brunch. And Carrie kind of seems to be in.
Basically, it's my fantasy, complete with Parisian parties and museum openings.
And Miranda wonders for how long, and Charlotte wonders if they might get married.
Did you notice that those salt and peppers are to the tippy top?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're eating Greek salads. That looks
I did
good.
Notice that,
yeah. They're not even at a Greek place, and they're eating Greek salads. Maybe Milo's did the craft services, and they just threw it on the...
Yeah, I guess it could be mentioned that I think it was Cindy Shupak who just loved Milos, and like that's why they sometimes they would just like be like, I like this location, let's write it in the script and then we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, I mean, it's one there. Of the few Sex and the City restaurants that's like still around.
True.
We should go there, Mike.
If someone wants to sponsor us, absolutely. Yeah, and when Carrie says that marriage isn't what this is about, even Charlotte's enthusiasm kind of flags a little bit, where she's like, well, if this isn't leading somewhere, why would you move? And
right.
Carrie gets very aggravated by all the questions.
Yeah, she doesn't think her friends are happy for her, but actually they just want to know if she knows where she's going, or
yeah.
like what she's doing. Like, they're not happy.
It's literally a huge move.
Yeah, they're just trying to figure out, like, do you know what's happening? And this is the argument, we've talked about it before, that I've had with friends too, where they're like, sometimes people think that you don't understand or you don't care or you're not happy. But really, I'm just saying, no, you also deserve to have a say in this situation. I'm just letting you know that, like, your part in this is worthy too. And the only one that kind of seems to be whatever is Samantha in her multi-animal prints.
Yeah, she's mix and matching her leopards and her tigers.
Yeah, and I love
like that.
She's just like, does anyone want to talk about cancer?
Yeah. Yeah, she offers to change the subject. And we get to Carrie writing, and it's about questioning versus doing.
Yeah, all girl talk and no girl action. Is it time to stop questioning?
Period,
because we're not questioning.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that you can certainly, I probably err on the side of questioning too much.
Yeah, well, as always, this episode aligns with my life, right? And right now I am in a place where there's a situation happening and I'm analyzing every single thing and be like, well, what do you think this means? 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 And my friend said to me, like, you are aware that until you, like, just are direct, you're never gonna know. Like, you're just not gonna know. And that's exactly what I'm doing in this situation, is, like, girl talk and no girl action.
And I guess this is one of the ones that I don't necessarily have an answer for, because...
I don't think it's time to stop questioning, but I think it's also time to, like...
Start doing,
yeah, like... You have to take the action. You can be cautious and you can be smart, but, man, I'm the queen of just, like... I hope it works out. And it's scary. I've been taking more and more action as of late with lots of things. And sorry, I did that. I've been with lots of things, and it's scary. It's uncomfortable.
And some questions shouldn't be asked. We get to Harry asking if someone's getting a little chunky.
Harry?
I'm talking about the dog.
And I said, Elizabeth Taylor is adorable.
Elizabeth Taylor, played by Penny, I think is the dog's name.
And what is Charlotte eating that she's feeding Elizabeth Taylor? Fries?
She's eating fries.
It looks like she has multiple kinds of fries, like a fry sampler platter, which let me know where you got
sure,
it.
Sure, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor's gained some weight. I guess that dog really was 8 pounds, but they have it as either 12 or 14. I can't remember, but she's gained a little weight. Charlotte rushes to the pet store, has to get her on some diet dog food right away.
Who, I didn't check, who plays this man?
Tom Deckman. Tom Deckman plays the pet store guy. He was in Spamalot on Broadway.
Okay.
He's in a couple of Broadway shows and tours, his theater guy. And he's very excited to see a Cavalier.
Oh, a Cavalier. She's beautiful.
And he quickly points out that she's pregnant.
Yeah. So, well, now, is anyone shocked? Remember that dog park?
Right, exactly.
I mean, come on. Like, I wasn't shocked by this. No one was rushing to get those dogs off of her.
Yeah.
She had her period. Did so, it, like, we
didn't,
know.
Didn't get that dog on the morning after pill the next day, apparently.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, it was lined up that this was going to happen.
Right. Because, yeah, now Charlotte is aggressively cleaning a tub.
In, like, a Audrey Hepburn dress.
She's taking it a little personally.
Yeah.
She's pregnant because everyone around me gets pregnant, just not me.
She feels the puppies will be trampy and unpedigreed.
We will have to raise her whole trampy family.
That's pretty good. And she can't even look at her right now. Mm. And I wrote, this scene is ridiculous, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I love it. I love Charlotte and Harry. I do.
Yeah, they're pretty. It's all good. And with the dog, like, it that dog's a pretty good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Knows its marks.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut to Carrie looking at ways to learn French that I feel she will never use.
From some cassettes.
Yeah. I I think I finally got rid of mine. I had my cassettes for years and years about learning French.
I took French for one semester.
I took French for 1 year.
Okay.
And I took Spanish for one semester, so I can speak neither.
Yeah, I don't... But those cassettes... I mean, I've talked about Muzzy before on the podcast, the cassette tapes for the kids with the Je suis dans le fait. And those were cassettes. But I just had this memory of seeing those plastic holders that used to hold VHS tapes and would hold cassettes like that.
That's what I had. It was a Christmas present forever ago that I had. And, you know, I finally was like, I'm just not going to learn French.
Probably. Yeah. Sam is in a full Rizzo wig. There are worse things I could do.
And Carrie just thinks Miranda doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And I don't either.
We're not going to encourage you to cross an ocean. We're selfish bitches who like you in New York.
Well, I like me in New York too, but I really like him.
Carrie likes him and thinks he's sweet, which is nice, but doesn't feel like a good enough reason to move to Europe.
Oh, she does not like him. She doesn't know him.
She didn't try to get to know him. She didn't ask him one question all night, and she is all about the questions.
Samantha points out that she's never asked anyone things about her boyfriend.
I've never heard you use the term boyfriend.
My point is, it doesn't matter.
So I guess the point could be made of like, Carrie, just why do you care?
Yeah, why do you care? But she's already made it clear that they have nothing in common.
I know! You're gonna move to Paris with this guy that you have nothing in common with.
And you don't really know what he does.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sounds like a match made in heaven. And Carrie admits that she's not actually sure how she would do out of New York.
Believe me, your fabulousness will translate. And nobody says he gets to dictate the terms. Figure out how to do it so you're comfortable. Maybe half the time you're there, half the time I'm there.
Well, now you're being too supportive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Samantha's just like...
Samantha's very much like, what do you want to do?
And just... I think maybe that's... I mean, that's... I think that's what happens when you have... Like, when life itself is kind of, like, really precious and it's put in front of you, like, oh, this can be taken at any time. Like, when you're diagnosed with something like that. And I think that's what Samantha's realizing. Like, life's too short.
So we cut to West 56 and French lessons.
And they're staying in the same general area.
Yeah. Now, apparently, though, this was filmed much later.
Okay.
Because the overall background story of the filming of this episode is that so much of it takes place as a snowstorm is beginning. But in the reality of the filming of this, there was no snow until like the day after they were done filming. So all the snow you're going to see is fake, except for this scene had been filmed on the last day of filming for this and it had started to snow.
Okay.
And so they had to go back and refilm it when there wasn't any snow. Because clearly it wasn't supposed to start quite yet. Carrie's getting ready at her place, and Al wants to know if she's coming.
I love her hair and makeup in this.
Oh my gosh, she's so gorgeous. Yeah, her
in
hair,
this
one, her
I mean,
makeup.
The dress, I was like, oh, just that thing in the middle I didn't love.
I don't know, I like it.
But her hair and makeup, she is absolutely stunning. And even this whole, it's kind of like when I look at a picture of myself from like 10 years ago and now, and I'm like, oh, you look better now. Like, it's Carrie watching her evolve. And Al has been here 3 years. He's finished with New York.
Yeah. Yeah. She hasn't decided yet.
Is that when I'm supposed to be done?
Exactly.
You're 8 years ago?
He wonders why she has so many questions. And this feels like a rich person's issue. Like, she has a lot of questions because she doesn't have a fortune to fall back on.
Right.
And Carrie wonders why they can't go to Paris and then come back. But yeah, he's finished with New York and Carrie isn't. And once again, at every moment along this, I'm thinking, everything is telling you not to go.
Right.
Yeah, she brings up long distance, and Al says that's never worked for him. And I wrote, this feels like it should be the end of the idea. Like, it feels like this is a terrible idea.
Right.
Voulez-vous an ultimatum?
But we get to Enid's party, and I guess the background on this is this whole thing is a set. Her apartment's a set that was built 20 feet above the ground.
Okay.
So that there was room for what's going to happen later
on. And also that window is very specific. They wanted
very
to have
specific,
a window that
yeah.
opened at the bottom because Michael Patrick King knew someone.
Yes. Who had windows like this.
Nick, this is...
Alexander Petrovsky. I'm thrilled.
Pleasure to meet you.
And this is Martin Grable.
Hi.
Do you know where I know him from?
Not the Princess Bride?
Well, the Princess Bride, but... Cyrus from Gossip Girl. Okay. And he actually ends up with Leighton Meester's mother and Wallace get together, Eleanor Waldorf, and she's like, it's almost the same exact thing as Candy B and him. Like, it's this glamorous, Eleanor Waldorf is a famous fashion designer, and she is like a dignified older lady, and they end up together and have this relationship.
Spoilers.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's just funny to me. It's like a very similar thing. I wonder if there was any sort of, when they were thinking of writing this, like, oh, when they were thinking of writing Gossip Girl, they were like, we should, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he plays Martin Grable. He says they're expecting a nor'easter, for those that don't live in the Northeast. That's what we call a winter, a big winter storm.
Yeah, a wintry mix.
Looks like it's going to start snowing out there. They say it's going to be reminiscent of the 74 nor'easter.
And there wasn't one in 74, but I guess maybe that was harder to, like, I just Wikipedia'd it.
Wikipedia'd it.
And yeah, there wasn't a nor'easter in 74. Back in the day, I mean, it's a commentary on the weather changes in our time, that if you look it up, like, they used to happen once every 100 years and then once every 50 years, and now they happen like 6 times a year.
Right.
Yeah, he's a food critic for Bon Appetit.
She says he's a hobbit.
Yeah, Enid directs him to Kochek, and Carrie's like, he's very sweet and smart, and Enid isn't impressed.
No.
And then Lexi Featherston.
Carrie Bradshaw! Where the fuck have you been hiding?
I love Kristen Johnson.
I love Kristen Johnson. She's so good. I love that, like, it's another fellow tall lady. She's 6 feet tall.
She is.
So here's the thing about this character that I learned in watching this, right? So I was, like laughing and loving it. And then I was reading this article, and I was getting, like, emotional about her. Because you realize that, like, she is this girl that never leaves the party. Like, she's...
Right.
And what they were talking about in this article, too, is she is Carrie from season one.
Right. It's like, what if Carrie had never changed?
Right.
Like this is, like, worst Carrie scenario, basically. Yeah.
And I was watching it, and, you know, I'm not a party girl by any means. But I get these feelings sometimes, like, when like roommates move out because they're getting married, or when people move on and I'm still working at the restaurant, like I get this feeling of like, am I ever going to leave the party? Like, am I still that person?
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. For the record, Kristen Johnston, 2-time Emmy winner for Third Rock from the Sun. She's currently on Mom, and she's going to go to the roof and have a smoke.
And she also had been friends with Sarah Jessica Parker for like 20 years.
Yes.
And you know, Sarah Jessica Parker was always trying to get her to be on the show, and eventually she was like, I have this role you need to do.
She's so good. So we cut to Miranda calling Al pretentious.
Yep.
No offense, but you never think anyone's good enough for you and your friends. You didn't think I was good enough.
And I like that Miranda's point is, it's how she is around him.
Yeah.
Because I see that, too. Like, her whole thing of, like, she didn't laugh once during that dinner party.
Large-scale light installations. What the fuck is that?
Right, he's kind of full of himself.
Thank you!
And it just ends with Steve assuring her that it'll be okay, that no matter what happens, it'll be okay. And Miranda is certain it's not going to happen. And I feel like I've been that person who's been like, this is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
You have been that person?
Oh, sure.
I think that is Mike Jensen.
That is Mike Jensen? Okay. Saith Elise Castle.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, we've talked about this before. You're not the person that's like, anything can happen.
But I guess in this, I mean, like, in respect to change.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where I'm like, I do tend to, like, dig my heels in sometimes. So we cut to Martin talking to Carrie about cheese.
Yeah.
And it does feel like they've swapped dates.
Yeah, the best raw milk white cheddar I ever had was from a farm in, guess where?
New
York.
I do like that we discover that neither Enid nor Al like Iampei.
That's priceless. I never liked Iampei either.
Anyways, he's an architect. He.
I was just thinking of that Thai place you always go to uptown.
A little bit different.
Oh, Pai Thai.
He designed the the pyramid outside the Louvre.
Okay.
Anyway,
that's where Mona Lisa is.
That is true. He passed away last May. He was 102.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him. So, yeah, Carrie excuses herself to go talk to Enid. And Enid admits, okay, this is so... this is a thing that I've been meaning to bring up because it's happened a couple of times and I always forget it and it's stupid. I completely admit that. But Enid admits that she's been a fan longer than she'd like to admit. And Mikhail, who in general is a great actor, gives us an example of a line reading that makes me crazy when it comes to contrasting lines, where she says, I've been a fan longer than I'd like to admit. And his line is, I've been making art longer than I'd like to admit, but he emphasizes the wrong word.
You know, I have to tell you, I've been a fan of your work for longer than I'd like to admit.
I've been doing my work for longer than I'd like to admit.
And it's so dumb, and I'll put it in.
Oh, it should have been, I've been making art longer than I'd like to admit.
There you go. Thank you. Best actress goes to.
Thank you.
When doing a contrasting line, choose the correct emphasis.
Right.
Oh, Carrie, I love this man.
Yes, I see that.
Enid is really laying it on with the I love this man, and I... So basically what I wrote is, and now she's really flat out inappropriate.
Oh, Carrie, why aren't I with him?
Yeah, this is why I think she reminds me of that Tatum O'Neal character, where it's just like... She's so blunt.
Yeah, because then I wrote, and now she goes on to make a pretty sad and true point.
Right, because, and Carrie says, well, because I am.
He's my age, and you've got him, and I am in no man's land. Literally, no man anywhere. Men can date anyone any age, but let's be frank, most of them prefer the bimbos. So if you're a successful 50-something woman, there's a... very small pool. It's very small. It's a wading pool, really. So why are you swimming in my wading pool?
It's tough, but I Candace kills it. Like, she does. She's an actress, that one.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like, excuse me, I have to pee.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it. Like, if you're a woman of a certain age and there are only so many single men left, and
the men tend to go for younger women. I mean, it's all like sad and depressing and factual. And in the bathroom, the snow is going up.
Yep. Cocaine with Lexi.
Yeah, and Lexi says they're the only single girls here.
Yeah, remember when we used to go to Tunnel when we were like five?
I
hope
it.
They weren't there.
Just imagine like the five-year-olds at Tunnel.
Oh,
well, actually, I'm with someone.
Fuck you.
I love it.
So
I know this girl. I know so many of these girls. I am her inside. Like, I'm saying this that I've grown up a little bit, but like ultimately, this is who I am.
So Charlotte is cleaning up some poo.
Yep, she cleans in very glamorous outfits.
She does. She likes to be fancy.
No, Harry, I cannot come to bed right now because someone left me a little present because someone is too pregnant to hold it in.
Yeah, well, someone isn't holding it in anymore. In fact, someone is giving birth in the bathroom.
So I did look up, dog gestation is only 58 to 68 days, so okay.
Well, I mean, they plan a wedding in 2 minutes, so it's fine.
And now Charlotte is ready for those puppies.
Yeah, she's like, called on, mommy's coming.
And there are three puppies that we don't
babies,
see quite yet.
Little babies, yeah. Little baby puppies.
And now Carrie and Al are chatting with the filmmakers. It's Andre and Rama. Ronald Gutman recently was in the movie The Basis of Sex. He has played 7 characters on 3 different Law and Orders.
He's great to work with.
Yeah, everyone loves working with him. Yeah. They just keep bringing him back. For me, I remember, like, And the Band Played On was an HBO movie that I had seen many times. So that's where he clicked for me.
When
he was
did
in that
come out, that movie?
93,
yeah, I was
94,
say, the book
somewhere
is...
around there. The book is outstanding and should be required reading. Rama is... Oh, he was born in Belgium. And then Rama is played by Sakina Jeffrey. She's played Mindy Kaling's mom on both The Mindy Project and the movie Late Night. And she's played 3 different characters on 2 different Law and Orders.
But, so she's also good to work with.
Also good to work with. And was on House of Cards for
and
a while.
And I love this dynamic.
So now Rama and I split our time between Los Angeles and Calcutta.
He splits his time.
Rama hates Los Angeles.
Frozen yogurt is not culture.
Yeah, they split their time between L.A. and Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie points out that they seem happy, but Al doesn't want that.
Mm-mm.
He's really not giving her much.
No.
Other than, I guess...
Like, this is what I want. If you don't want it, then...
Yeah.
Bye, bye, bye.
And once again, she says that she has a life here. And this is where Lexi asks for a light.
Oh, no, sorry, I don't smoke anymore.
Oh, fuck you.
So good. I could watch that forever. She asks Martin and Enid for a light, and Enid tells her to go outside.
There is no outside. It's fucking snowing.
And honestly, like, in my personal life, I've had this experience happen where I'll run into someone from, like, an old running buddy, quote unquote, from many years ago, like at a party or a bar, and they'll be like, are you drinking Diet Coke? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, you don't drink? And I'm like, no. And they're just like, kind of, it's one of two responses. It's either this, or it's either like, can we talk for a minute? You know? But
I should do that.
Yeah.
I feel like you get a lot of that.
Yeah, I should do that.
Where
is
you're
a
like,
good,
okay.
Okay, great.
And Lexi opens a window and really lets loose.
Yeah, can we just insert this whole monologue?
Yeah, we will, because it's perfect.
I want to just start saying it at parties.
When did everybody stop smoking? When did everybody pair off?
It's like the equivalent of Ladies Who Lunch. It's like the Ladies Who Lunch of Sex and the City. Does anybody still wear a hat?
This used to be the most exciting city in the world, and now it's nothing but smoking near a fucking open window. New York is over. No one's fun anymore. Whatever happened to fun? God, I'm so bored I could die.
It was the only time Lexi ever left a party early. Out she goes. And I remember being shocked. I mean, like, it's set up. Like, you can almost see it coming, but it still is a moment of like, oh, what just happened?
And when they're, like, when they talk about it, too, Michael Patrick King says that they were aware of what Carrie was aware of what she would be sacrificing if she moved to Paris. We needed to scare her with what life could be like if she stayed, which is why Lexi was created. Now, I don't necessarily know if that would be Carrie, just because I feel like Carrie has evolved. And then also the idea that this scene happened, Jenny Bick says they needed something really shocking to happen so that the idea of Carrie leaving New York seemed less shocking.
And I get that. I don't know that I 100% buy it, but I get what they're doing.
Well, and but watching this though, as a person watching it for the first time, I wrote, wait, did Lexi die and now we go to a 90s acoustic song snow montage? Like some cocaine fueled party guest didn't just go out the window?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time it snowed that winter, and now they're just fucking with me. Because in my mind, I'm like, so maybe it's February now?
Yeah, I said it's winter.
I don't know. Whatever, we won't worry about time. Yeah, I mean, I guess Michael Patrick King says this is like the first time that this is not stock footage. They went out when the snow happened, and they found these locations to sort of bring us back down from what we just saw, as then we get into, you know, Lexi making the cover of the Daily News.
And Party Girl says goodnight.
And Carrie decides to go to Paris. We get Miranda and family making snow angels, and Charlotte teaching the puppies to say snow.
On the splat.
Yeah.
Newspaper.
And 2 days later, we're at St. Mark's, and Stanford is just now getting the details.
Yeah, I feel like this would be a pretty easy one to tell someone.
And I feel like those last words would have been in the paper somewhere. Like, someone must have already said her last words before she went down.
What were they?
So bored I could die.
Oh, yeah. And Samantha, this funeral is better than Fashion Week.
And there's no way Hugh Jackman is in there.
Marcus is saving us seats next to Hugh Jackman.
Maybe.
No.
Hugh Jackman ends up in a lot of places. He's going to be on Broadway soon enough. In The Music Man. Full circle. But also, the funeral that was in the first season when that...
Javi.
When Javi died. Wasn't that also like Fashion Week?
Yeah.
They need to stop with the funerals in Fashion Week.
And I guess that she was the it girl in the 80s.
I thought I was the it girl. Well, it's your word against a dead girl, so you win.
Yeah, Martin is Enid's date. And if you're single in New York, after a certain point, there's nowhere to go but down. I guess they took that line out and put it back in several times because they weren't sure if it was too much. To me, it's a little bit too much. But once again, we're trying to be scary.
Right.
And it is said that she decides to leave based on fear.
I'm going to Paris.
That's so exciting!
Good for you!
Because you're afraid of going out a window?
That this decision is now a purely fear-based decision. Because Carrie says she's going to Paris. And Miranda points out, are you doing it because you're afraid of going out a window?
No, because I'm opening a new one.
And she quit her job. And she's done answering questions, even though I still have so many.
Right.
I think you're making a mistake. Miranda, please.
Carrie, you can't quit your column. It's who you are.
No, it's not who I am. It's what I do.
It's so well written. It's so well acted.
I don't understand why you have to move away and give up your life.
You moved to Brooklyn? That's just Brooklyn. I cannot stay in New York and be single for you.
What?
This is about you. As long as I'm here in the same place writing my column, then nothing has really changed.
No, this is about you.
No, you moved on. Charlotte's moved on. Even Samantha's moved on. I can stay here and write about my life, or I can go with him and live my life.
You mean his life?
Just say it. You don't like him.
Fine, I don't like him.
Then don't you go to Paris with him.
You're living in a fantasy.
And she kind of says that maybe she is, but she's not going to question it. She's done questioning.
I'm just going to say yes and to the improv king himself, Al.
I don't know.
And then it ends with an inhumane carriage ride.
I know. I did worry about that poor horse.
And I do like that they kind of laughed about it, though, when she says, like, I don't know how he found a horse-drawn sleigh. I've never seen a horse-drawn sleigh. Yeah, I don't, I mean, I've had this, like I said, I had this discussion this week where it's like my instinct when it comes to fear is to run. Like that's immediately what I do. Or to like check out or to find a way to do it. And right now I'm trying to not do that. And I'm trying to like work through things, and it's not easy, and it's the harder thing to do. However, going to Paris feels like running.
And I guess that's how I feel as well, that I think there's a difference between living a stagnant life and moving to Paris. And I get that it's a TV show and they're setting us up for where we're about to go. And I do want to point out that she has the line in this episode of, you know, the when she quit her job that she had suggested to the paper a different route, and they weren't going for the American girl in Paris.
Right.
So if you look at the title for the next two episodes, that leads us somewhere. Okay. But yeah, so there you go. That's where we're getting to the end. And it's tough. It's so tough because I remember watching it in the moment and really like fighting against it and thinking this isn't how this is supposed to go, but it's the journey they're taking us on. So,
well, you own all the DVDs to this series, so something tells me that doesn't piss you off as much as Game of Thrones.
We'll talk about it when we get there. I have a lot of feelings.
Oh, Mike Jensen having feelings?
I know, it's weird. I try to pretend like I don't.
I couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder where he got a horse-drawn carriage in the middle of New York.
Horse-drawn sleigh.
Horse-drawn sleigh.
You can get a horse-drawn carriage.
But you shouldn't.
You shouldn't, ever.
They're also stupid.
Yeah, Mike wanted to pet the horse the other day.
I'm telling you, I'm walking up, this horse is looking at me. I'm honestly a little bit nervous. I'm like, that horse is looking at me. It's going to try to talk to me or something. I'm not kidding. I get almost to the horse, and it walks up on the sidewalk towards me. And I didn't know what to do. I wanted to, like, pet it or, like, be like, hey, bud, how you doing? And I just kept walking and I felt really bad. But I'm like, that horse needed a friend. And I feel like I let it down. Don't ride the horses.
I couldn't help but wonder why Charlotte doesn't have a cleaning person.
I feel like she must. And she just cleans on her own when she feels like being fancy.
Maybe, because she's always so in a dress weird. Doing it.
All right, we're heading into the end.
Yikes.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with American Girl in Paris Part 1. Written by, it says Manny. How on earth did Jenny autocorrect on my phone to Manny?
I just texted my friend and said, my hormones are out of control. But don't worry, I sent her a text saying, my homeboys are out of control.
Some of the autocorrects that happen, I don't get it.
Which I was like, I can't fix that. That's pretty good,
that's
right?
That's just what it is. It's your homeboys.
They're out of control.
So we've paired up two of our favorites. It's Jenny
Candy
Bix.
B.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who?
I was saying Candy Bergen and Carrie. I'm already sorry, guys.
No, we're gonna cover the writing credits.
Oh yeah, let's go through.
I'm gonna edit that and make myself not sound stupid.
Oh, well, good. Try that for me once.
Oh, I do.
You're like, it takes hours. But I do. Why there was...
Well said.
I'm just trying to think and I can't think.